Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. It's Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with teacher Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. Good news, Charlie. My voice is semi-intact. I can talk with you a little bit tonight. What do you think about that?
That's great. That's an improvement. The Lord's healing. Great.
So for all you people, I listened to your service last Tuesday. It was a good one. I did have a chuckle when you talked about the earth being flat. I had a couple other people respond to me about that as well. So
it's just something to think about.
It's just something to think about. And for all those people out there listening and stuff, Charlie has been born again for a long time, longer than I have. And we agree on just about everything, but there are a few things that we agree to disagree upon. Still, we work together for the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so people, we are going to talk about Holy Ghost power and life in the Spirit. And we are going to be in one chapter tonight, so there won't be much flipping. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to talk on a few things. And if you hear me cough or my voice gets a little strained, please forgive me. It's getting better. And I appreciate all the prayers out there. And Charlie, would you like to open us up in a word of prayer?
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity again to come and to share on this broadcast. And Lord, we're just asking for your presence. We're asking, Lord, for your anointing. We're asking, Lord, for those of us sharing, Lord, and those that will call in. And Lord, that those that will be listening, that Lord, that our hearts and spirits will be opened up to receive from you, Lord, that which you would have us to know and to understand, that we might grow up and mature, and we might learn at your hand. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, for the people listening out there, we would love to hear your comments. If you need prayer, give us a call. We'll keep it semi-short because we do a teaching here, but if you have questions or if you disagree, let's talk about it. And the number here, the call-in number is 646-787-8364. And again, the number is 646-787-8364. Today, we are going to talk about Holy Ghost power. And we're going to talk about the two different kinds of power that Christians and non-Christians alike face in this world today. So open up your Bibles to chapter 8. We are going to read just about all of Romans chapter 8, and hopefully we're going to give you a better understanding, according to the Word of God, about the power of the Holy Ghost and another power that will be brought up here momentarily. So, Charlie, if you would like to read the first two verses, that would be wonderful.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. I'm going to read verse 2. I have a different translation. I do this purposely. For all you people out there that say I should be studying the King James, I promise you I do. But for reasons, I've got a translation that isn't King James, but it's very, very similar. And it says in verse 2, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That word condemnation is the action of condemning someone to a punishment or sentencing. So first verse, if you belong to Jesus Christ, what is God promising us right here, Charlie?
No guilty verdict.
So we are free from punishment or sentencing. We are deemed not guilty, correct?
That's right. We're deemed not guilty. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. So for all you brothers and sisters out there, you babes in Christ, you children of God, you sons and daughters of God, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you truly know this, there is no condemnation because you belong to Jesus Christ. So we need to get out of this thing. I see a lot of Christians, Charlie, today that aren't a deep condemnation. And they'll say that the Holy Spirit is condemning them, or the Holy Spirit has done this, or the Holy Spirit has done that. As far as I know, the only time the Holy Spirit convicts is when Jesus Christ, or when is for Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior. Now, correct me or add on if you know of more.
I agree. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. In other words, you've breached one of God's laws, and he brings conviction that you might repent and be free from it. But condemnation, the thing that would say to us, you know, we can't get out of this and it's too much to handle and blah, 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 blah. That's from another source. That's not from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Now, are there things out there, Charlie, like perhaps a familiar spirit or a mask or a false Holy Ghost or anointing? Is that relevant in the world today?
Dean, I would have to say so, because I have known people that, you know, by all accounts, questioning them, they had repented of their sin, they had confessed Christ, but yet they were under this bondage, all this condemnation coming upon them, you know, and all the things that were bothering them, and they didn't see any way out of it. So when you get a little deeper into that, you realize that it's another spirit talking to them. It's not the Holy Spirit talking to them. It's another spirit talking to him that is not the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, so far we're 2 for 2, Charlie. I 100% agree with you, my friend. All right. So now, the word power is the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. So, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit, he's talking about the Holy Ghost here, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Charlie, can we talk about the power of sin a little bit? Now, a lot of people won't realize that sin has a power over people.
Oh, yes, it does. And anyone who has had to struggle with any kind of addiction or anything of that nature knows what that thing is. I know that there were areas of my own life where I had to really struggle because there was a power controlling me. So there is a power of sin. There's a thing that once it gets a hold of people, it literally begins to control them. And as that thing controls them, it begins to own them. And it's like they will keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And it's like that thing does control them. There is a power of sin that will control you. There's no question about it.
Now, where will that power of sin lead you?
If you don't repent and receive Jesus as your personal Savior, it can lead you into a very warm place, my friend. The Bible calls it Hades or hell.
Amen. Amen. It leads you to death. Now, the Holy Ghost it talks about here has freed us, but it's telling us that the Holy Ghost also has a power. But this power leads to life and freedom from the power of sin.
Yes.
If that's the case, why is it? Here's a question for you. Why is it that so many Christians seem to struggle with this power of sin?
That's a good question. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, we have been the penalty of sin is gone. It disappears. When that blood of Christ washes over us, we are literally set free from that stuff. There are habit patterns that need to be broken. We need to learn to grow in the Lord. And as we learn to grow in the Lord, that thing that used to bother us gets weaker and weaker and weaker to where after we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes we can tell it what to do. It doesn't tell us what to do anymore. And this comes with maturity. And so you're replacing one power with another. So when it's like when we struggle with things in our daily lives as Christian believers, we go back and we repeat the word. There's power in that word, and you repeat the power in that word, and it overcomes anything else that would come against us.
Amen. That's good. That is very good. All right, how about if we read verses 3 and 4?
3 and 4. Let me go up here and amplify and see if we get a better thing here. For what the law could not do, that is, overcome sin and remove its penalty, its power, being weakened by the flesh, man's nature without the Holy Spirit, God did. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, and overcame it in the person of his own Son, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not live our lives in the way of the flesh, guided by worldliness and our sinful nature, but live our lives in the ways of the Spirit, guided by his power.
Amen. So, verse 4. How does a person who is struggling with the power of sin, because we know that sin is powerful, sin will draw you, sin will eventually lead you to death. It could be spiritual death, physical death. There's all kinds of different deaths that it can lead you to. But if we follow our sin, no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit, here's a question. If you're controlled by sin and you live that sinful life, is it possible to please God?
I wouldn't think so.
No.
Because you're continuing in that sin. And if you continue in that sin, that's going to lead to some other issues. So you can't live in the flesh and in the Spirit at the same time. You can't do it. And again, let me clarify what the word flesh means here. It's the word sarx, which means human frailties and weaknesses that are prone to sin. That's what the flesh means. It's not the physical body. It's the human nature, the weaknesses, the inherent weaknesses in our being. That if we live with those, if we continue with those appetites and continue and continue and continue, then we won't be walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's right. All right, how about if we read verses 5 and 6?
For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, his will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever.
So would you say that the person who is dominated by sin, I'm going to just lay it out on the line here. The person who is dominated by sin, they sin. First of all, I know because at one point in my life I used to live that way. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. I sinned because I liked the sin. And I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. And I wasn't following God like I should. And I enjoyed the sin. And I believe, had I died, I would be to that warm place that you were talking about earlier. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, eventually, now I didn't say immediately, but eventually I started to grow and hunger for more for God, to the point where I didn't do the things that I had done in the past anymore. I didn't want to. Would you say that perhaps sometime in your life you had experienced something kind of like that, Charlie?
Yes, because the sin thing within us, that we're born into sin, we want to do those things. I mean, there were things I did. I enjoyed them immensely. And the Bible even teaches that sin has pleasure for a season. I enjoyed them immensely. But when I got saved, and again, like even when I, after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden I began to recognize that there were things that were much better for me than that. And so I began to hunger after the things of the Spirit, and the things of the flesh did not control me.
Amen. But again, now, with me, the change started from within. And it started, to be honest with you, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I had been born again for 10 years. And I believed in God. I loved God. But for whatever reason, I wasn't able to control that sinful nature. And I wanted to sin. I enjoyed it. But it seemed like when I got baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, I didn't, like I said, I did not stop overnight. But as I got older and started to, basically study more or get closer to God, I was feeding the Holy Ghost, I guess. Mm-hmm. I got to the point where all I wanted to do was please God, and mm-hmm. I didn't care about the sinful nature anymore. It's like his power was broken over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they're saying here in Romans chapter 8.
I think that's what they're saying too, because if we walk by the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We just won't do it. I've known people that, you know, they came up front, they confessed Christ, they got saved. I don't doubt that they got saved, and their lives changed a little bit. But a lot of the things that they were involved in, they didn't change. They couldn't do it. And then there were others that once they came along and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, they began to pray in that language. All of a sudden, they had a hunger for the things of God. And some of them that I've known over the years, they so dramatically turned from what they used to be involved in that it was a dramatic change. I'm serious. It was a dramatic change. And because I knew some people that they loved to get in their expensive boat on Friday night and go out and party in their boats all weekend long and come back. And they did that. And they even did that after they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. When they got baptized in the Holy Ghost and they began to read the word, you know what? They sold their boat and quit.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was into sports when I was younger, and sports was my God when I was younger. That's all I did, 7 days a week. Now, did I pray for God? Yep, I did. Did I pray for protection? Yes, I did. Did I pray to be a great athlete? Yes, I did. And, you know, at a young age, God honored that. Mm-hmm. And he was always there. He never left me nor forsake me, like the word says. But as I got older, Jesus appeared to me when I was 26, and he was basically calling me into the ministry. It was time for me to get filled with the Holy Ghost and to step into my call. And in order to do that, I believe that I needed to go through a learning process, which it's funny because it was probably, 25 years or so before I really, really fully understood, what Jesus was doing back then and really developed the relationship that I have now with the Holy Ghost. So it's nothing that I don't think that you develop overnight. So I don't want people to get discouraged, being discouraged just because, maybe they're struggling in an area or something like that. I believe that we all struggle in an area, at some point in our Christian lives.
Yes, we do. And again, I wish it were instantaneous. Many times I wish I could lay hands on people and say, be thou 21 years old in the Lord. It just doesn't work that way. We grow little bit by little bit by little bit. And as we yield ourselves to the Lord, things in our lives change. Old habits change. Way of doing things change. Lifestyle patterns change. But it's more gradual than it is instantaneous.
Amen.
We've all seen the stories of the, and I knew several, personal friends of mine. I mean, they were mainline heroin addicts. When they got saved, they had no withdrawals, nothing. I mean, they were clean as a whistle. The Lord took that away from them immediately. But yet, they had some serious, serious struggles ahead of them. And two or three of them who would not, who for some reason chose not to get the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they went back into drugs. But those who got the baptism in the Holy Spirit began to go in the Lord, they never went back.
And it's a shame. I mean,
real shame.
So many talk against the Holy Ghost. It's like with me, it's I guess it's easy for me to understand because I'm filled and totally in love with him. But like I know you are. But it's like if you read the New Testament, even the Old Testament, where they had the type of the shadow, or they carried the mantle. How can you not see how important it is to be filled with Holy Ghost power? I just, for the life of me, I just don't understand.
Well, when people get filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes there's a strange reaction. There really is. And some folks really don't like it because they like to maintain control. They can't stand the fact that, you know, that sometimes they might lose control when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And I've seen people that when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were very reserved, very, very reserved people. They were prayed for and nothing dramatic happened. They began to speak in tongues and their lives changed. Their lives began to change dramatically shortly thereafter. And then others, I'm telling you, there were others I saw, man, they got prayed for to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They hit the floor. They rolled on the floor and laughed 2 or 3 hours. And people say, man, that can't be God. That can't be God. Well, see, we don't know. But whatever the Lord was doing in that person's life was bringing them freedom and liberty to give them a good starting point to grow into spirit. So everybody's experience may be a little bit different.
Right. And, you know, who are we, first of all, to judge? I don't know about you, Charlie, but I'm petrified to say anything against the Holy Ghost.
I mean, you both.
I don't want to be an Ananias or a Sapphira. So I'm going to leave well enough alone. And even if it's strange and it looks different to us and it's weird and we just don't understand, and that person rolls around, like you said, for 3 or 4 hours, the proof is really in the pudding if you think about it, because – that person will show a change in their life, you know, for the better, according to the word.
Well, so, again, I've seen people in the Pentecostal circles that they would do things that was pretty obvious, not of the spirit, it was of the flesh. I mean, really, and it got to be extreme. And you and I both know the stories of, you know, dog collars and leashes and all that other stuff that went on in some meetings, which was a real disgrace to the Spirit of God.
But the
other side of that issue is, I mean, when the Spirit of the Lord comes on somebody, it is just incredible, because something is going to happen. Something is going to change. Something will come out different. And if they go through these things and it comes out and there's something not a little bit different in their life, then I would question that experience, to be honest with you. Because something should be a little bit different. But everybody I've known that had encounters with the Holy Spirit, something in their life began to change. It may be gradual at first, but it began to change.
Right. And let's face it. I know I've talked with many people, like you, I'm sure you have as well. You know, a lot of times it takes a little while to clean out some baggage from the past, because some people have lived some pretty bad, you know, tough lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it just takes a while for them to get through some things. And it's only by the power of the Holy Ghost that you're actually to be freed from these once and for all.
That's the only way.
That's the only way. Amen. I was hoping you'd say something like that, my brother. And I'm going to read verse 7. I'm going to try to throw through this one. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God.
Mm-hmm.
So as a born-again believer, a child of God, a son and daughter of God, a toddler in Christ, a teenager, whatever you want to call it, I don't really care. But if you are a child of God, our biggest goal or achievement in life should be to please our Heavenly Father. Would you agree with me, Charlie?
I agree with you, and to quote someone that was much more knowledgeable of who the Father was than I will ever be, probably, was Christ himself. He says, I do always those things that please the Father.
Amen. Amen. So if we know that we're controlled by our sinful nature, if you truly, let's be honest here, if you truly love God, you're going to do whatever means necessary to please him. And the first thing I would say is you repent. The second thing I think you would do is ask Jesus Christ into your life. And then the third thing you would do is read the word and study. And when you come across the Holy Ghost, because he's talked about throughout Scripture, and he's a free gift, it says. And Jesus says to wait here, I'm going to go sit at the right hand of my Father, and I'm going to send you the comforter, the teacher, the power to enable you. Then we must realize that he must be very, very important.
Yes, he is.
So, how about, my friend, if you read verses 9 and 10?
9 and 10. However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. If Christ lives in you, though your natural body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness which he provides. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you.
There's a lot of meat in those scriptures right there.
Oh, you ain't kidding. There's a lot of meat in those scriptures, because I've said that verse to my wife many, many times. If we really understood that if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and it will quicken our mortal bodies, there ain't nothing that can mess with us.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Let me say it one more time, folks listening out there. Nothing. Nothing. Charlie, I want your opinion on this right here. In verse 9, it says, but you are not controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living. You are controlled, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living them do not belong to him at all. Is the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost being talked about here, is it the same? Well, I hit you with one there, didn't I, brother?
I'm trying to read the scripture again to see exactly what it was telling me. However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by sinful nature. You're living, in essence, you're living in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. So what I'm seeing right here is that it's telling us that if the Spirit of God does not live in someone, they are not God's. They belong to somebody else. They belong to their flesh.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is also the Spirit of truth. There's several names in Scripture for that.
Yeah, we'll have to do a show on that. Remember you and I discussed that not too long ago, I don't think. It's in Isaiah, the seven spirits. But so that's kind of a thing. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. That's kind of, that would kind of be an eye-opener for me. You know what I mean? And again, people can't get mad at you and I because we're just reading what the Word says.
And if the Spirit of God does not dwell in them, then they're living totally after the flesh.
Amen.
I mean, they have they do not have a moral compass, so to speak. In other words, they don't have a basis for what they believe, so they can compromise on anything. They could probably do pretty much of anything just to satisfy something. And this is close to what Paul would describe as carnal Christians. In other words, they were believers, but they were very, very, very carnal. But this one says that the Spirit of God, it doesn't belong to him. He's not a child of God.
Wow, that's one word I would never want to hear. Depart from me. I don't know you. You're not my child.
No, I don't want to hear that either.
Oh, gosh, Lord, please. Whatever needs to be done in my life, I am yours. Holy Spirit, have your way. This is good stuff. When I was reading this last night, brother, I kept my poor wife up, you know, well past her bedtime because I kept reading her all kinds of different scripture. She was like half asleep saying, yeah, that's wonderful, sweetheart. That's wonderful. All right, so how about, let's see, how about verses 12 through 14?
Okay. Again, I'm going to go back to Amplified. It's a little bit clearer, but I know a lot of people, I love my King James, though. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity, to live according to the impulses of the flesh, our nature without the Holy Spirit. For if you're living according to the impulses of the flesh, you're going to die. But if you're living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body, and you will really live forever. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption or the placing as sons, that the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father.
There's some good meat in there too, my friend.
But there's a lot of meat in there.
Yeah. So it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful urges do to you. You know how some people sit down and say, well, I just can't seem to get by this temptation. Or this is my favorite. I haven't heard this for a long time, though. But I used to when I was younger. The devil made me do it. You know what I mean? Oh, goodness. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything.
No.
And for if you live by its dictates, you will die. So if you continue in a sinful nature, and I like that word you use later on in the thing, habitually.
Yeah.
If you have a problem in sin and you habitually sin, and you can't seem to get past it for whatever reason, Chad, I'm going to ask your opinion in a second. My opinion is you're in danger, and your relationship with God is in danger, in my opinion. Now, that's not gospel. That's what Dean thinks. But if somebody habitually sins, and that means you can't please God, I think that if anything were to happen to you, you could be in trouble, and you might be surprised where you go. What's your take on that?
That is a possibility, because the scriptures teaches also this, that, you know, there were those who tasted the heavenly calling and they knew what it was, and they turned again. They turned away. And we know that the scriptures teaches that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that. But then it seems to indicate in Hebrews that there comes a time where people have gone so far for so long, even though the Lord has chastised them, even though the Lord has dealt with them, even though the Lord has tried to bring them into the fold completely, they just choose their own way. And it appears like that if they continue in that for a long period of time, theologically, there's two schools of thought on this. One of them is that the Lord won't let them go so far. He'll take them home before he lets them lose their salvation. That's one. And the other is that they go so far that the Lord turns his back on them and erases them out of the book of life.
Amen. Amen.
That's, either way, it's dangerous ground.
It is dangerous ground. And it's another reason. I mean, just in the 13 or 14 verses we've talked about, Charlie, it talks about the Holy Ghost in just about every single verse.
Yes, it does.
He's showing you the importance of Holy Ghost power. And it isn't just Holy Ghost, it's Holy Ghost power. So there's a power that needs to be in a person's life. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you need to be empowered so that you can come against the attacks or the wiles or the woes or whatever you want to call it of the enemy. And if you think that when you become born again that you're going to tiptoe through the tulips, my friend, when you give Jesus Christ your life and you make him your Lord and Savior and you follow him, you will have persecution, trials, tribulations, tests, sickness and disease will come against you like never before in your life. Charlie, tell me I'm wrong.
No, I'm not going to tell you wrong, but I know that's true.
I know firsthand about sickness and disease coming against you. I fight it daily. Daily it comes against me. And sometimes it gets the better of me. And I'm believing through the power of the Holy Ghost, as I mature and get even older in Christ, that I'll learn how to tap into that Holy Ghost power and how to get through. And to one point, when it even begins, not even allow it to come upon me. Is that your goal in life too, Charlie?
I'd like to see that. I know the scripture teaches this too, that says many of the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
That's
and
right.
It also says, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He takes
Amen.
Us through them. He will bring us out to the other side.
When we left the camp or the kingdom of Satan and we joined up with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Ghost and the kingdom of God, Satan got a little upset. Satan wants a lot of company when he goes and burns in the lake of fire. So he's going to do everything he can to try to steal you back. Or people will sit down and say, well, that's impossible. Once you give your life to Christ, you're saved forever. That is not what the Word of God tells me. So it becomes a struggle. Satan's going to come after you. He comes after you as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And again, we know he's talking about the believer in Christ. So your life, and I believe we're going to touch on it if we have time in a little bit, but your life of trials, tests, and tribulations and afflictions here now, all it's going to do is make it when you go to heaven, it's you're going to be rewarded with glory, and you're going to live from glory to glory. So the glory is worth everything that comes against us down here, the glory of God. And if people got filled with the Holy Ghost, you'd have a clearer understanding, and he could actually show you things in your spirit, and you would just have the affliction just wouldn't bother you as much anymore. Nobody wants to go through them, but you knew you could count it all joy, the Bible says, when these things do come against you, because it's going to make you even more mature and stronger in Christ.
Well, Paul went through a lot, and to quote Paul, he says, I glory in my infirmities. Ouch.
Boy, there are times, brother, I'm not going to lie. I'm not real happy when things come against me and stuff. And sometimes I even kind of lose my cool a little bit. And the Lord will say, boy, Dean, you're lucky nobody was watching you when you did that, my friend. You need to you need to work on that. So, and you always get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. The Bible tells us to be quick unto repentance.
I'm laughing because I understand it.
The Bible tells us to be quick unto repentance, and I don't know about you, brother, but I've learned that when I make a boo-boo, I'm on my face quick and say,
oh,
Lord,
you ain't kidding. We can't fast real quick.
Forgive me. I don't want that one over me. But you know, we laugh and stuff like that, but it's a process, Charlie. It's a process when you become a child of God.
It is a process.
And what we're trying to do is, am I trying to cram the Holy Ghost down your throat? Yes, I am. Why? Because the Word of God tells us that's what we need. And I want to see people, I'm not going to say not get attacked, because you're going to get, I want to see people be able to get through and to mature and really become that soldier for Christ, so that we can go on and preach the gospel like the Word of God says, with signs and wonders following, and win people into the kingdom of God. That's really what it's all about, Charlie. And I want to please my Father. All right.
Yes, we do.
Let's go. Yes. I have to skip a little bit. We did that one. Let's go up to verse 29. How about if you read 8:29?
29.
Oh, wait a minute. Can we go back and do 8:26? I'm sorry.
26? Okay.
Yes.
But we were talking about this a while ago. Let me back up here to this verse. For I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed in to us and in us. We were just talking about that one. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
26. In the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weaknesses or infirmities, we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. But the Spirit himself knows our need, and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will.
Amen. So, I'm going to throw it right out there, and I'm going to tell you right here, many times, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and you're off praying, I'm not going to say that, you know, you're praying bad. I'm going to say that you're probably praying from your heart, which is a good thing. But, Charlie, are there things that we need to pray for that we just don't know about or we don't understand?
Yes. That's why this was given to us. Some people call it the prayer, private prayer language or whatever. It's still speaking in tongues, because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we're praying because the Spirit is praying through us to the Father. By Christ Jesus, the Spirit is praying through us that we are telling the Lord what his will and purpose is, and he works through us, because we don't know how to pray. There have been many times in my life I found myself in situations, circumstances, I had no idea how to pray. No idea. I could think of a bunch of platitudes and books I've read and stuff like that. That doesn't do any good. We need to be able to do this, because it gives us the opportunity to pray in the will of God, and to pray thoroughly all the way through that thing, because he comes to help us in our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray because the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings too deep for words. And those of us who have prayed in the Spirit over many years, we know what that means by groanings and travailing. We know what that means. And it goes beyond, bless me, Lord. It goes way beyond that.
It's true. And, you know, if you pray God's will, if you pray his perfect will, my word, can he deliver you, set you free? He can get you places you never dreamed you could get before.
Well, on the other side of that coin, when we're praying in the will of God, suppose the Spirit is praying through us. Lord, you know I have an issue with pride. And Lord, I need to be taken down a few notches. Will you help me with my pride issue, Lord? see, we won't pray that openly, but we will pray that in something like that in the Spirit. Now, you know, it could be kind of a joke, but that's the way it works. The Lord wants to bring us into maturity. He wants to bring us into responsibility. And if we're walking with Christ and we got an issue with something, and then we began to pray that way, that's why some people say, well, I don't want to pray in tongues. I don't know what I'm praying. Well, it's good for us that we don't know what we're praying, so that sometimes it goes into intercession for other people we have no knowledge of.
Amen.
It really does. But we need to pray in the Spirit, because then we know we're praying in the will of God. Because when we pray in our mind, it can be okay. And even praying in the mind can sometimes be in the spiritual dimension. But we know we pray in tongues and we pray in the Spirit like that. We know we're praying in the will of God.
Amen. Now, a lot of times, too, you know, I mean, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, let's be honest. I mean, you could have your prayers could be like maybe one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. Maybe you're praying for a favorite brother or sister or friend. Maybe you're praying for things for yourself that you might not really should be praying for. Maybe there's more important things. But when the Holy Ghost prays, I mean, there could be things coming against us in our lifetime that we don't even know, but the Holy Ghost does, and he, mm-hmm. and he prays and pleads for us, like it says in the Word of God.
Yeah.
So to me, praying in tongues or your prayer language or your heavenly, whatever you want to call it, is the perfect prayer. It's the perfect will of God.
It sure is.
And nothing is better than praying in God's perfect will. I mean, so, you know, this, let's call a spade a spade, this baloney that, you know, that, you know, people don't get filled, you shouldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the biggest one I'm seeing, is the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost power is all, it's up the devil.
Yeah.
You know, and you go back and you read the scriptures. I mean, when Peter first became filled with the Holy Ghost, 3,000 men came to Christ. Mm-hmm. How was that of the devil?
No way.
You know, and you know, God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus is the example, and the disciples started the church. I mean, it didn't say they started and ended the church there. That's the beginning of the church. And the book of Acts is how you and I are supposed to act. I mean, it doesn't get much simpler than that.
No, it doesn't.
So good news, people, to pray, get filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and then you could start praying your prayer language. You could save somebody's life through that prayer language. You could be saving your own life. You could be praying just amazing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Charlie, we've said this. I don't think we've ever said this on air. We've said it on like Bible studies on Facebook and stuff there, but tell them about when you prayed about more love.
Oh, yeah, okay. yeah, you don't forget things like that. But there's been more than that. That was just one example, but it brought home to me really something about what the Lord's trying to teach us. Because I remember when I first got saved, and after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was having a real difficult time because of my my background, the way I grew up, a lot of different things. And I grew up in a family that they did the best they could for me, but I never knew really what any kind of love was. And I read in the scripture about the love of God, and I see where God loved me, and I would see how the Lord would express his love to other people, and how he showed his love to the world by, you know, sending his son. And I said, Lord, I said, would you please teach me how to love people the way that you love people? And it was the most amazing thing. Within a very, very short period of time, literally within hours and a few days, some of the most unruly, meanest, nastiest people that I could ever encounter in my lifetime came into my life. I didn't invite them. I didn't want them there. And I thought, my old flesh wanted to rise up and go get the nearest baseball bat and clean house. You know what I mean? I mean, I wanted them out of my life. I wanted them out of my face. I wanted to get rid of them. I said, I remember screaming at God, if this is the way it's going to be, I'm done, you know. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, says, you asked me to teach you how to love people. And the Lord says, I love these people. So I had to learn to respond to them where they were at. Did I make it perfectly? No. Am I still learning that? Yes. This is a process. There are people that come across my path these days, and I think, Lord, help me, Jesus. And then I remember that episode. It taught me we're to reach out to them and not judge them so harshly, you know, because we don't know where they're at. We don't know what they're, you know, what they're involved in. We don't know. Yeah, that was one thing, but it's because of my praying in the Spirit and understanding what the Lord wants that I said that. And believe me, it came to pass pretty quickly. So in some ways, it's a little bit dangerous to pray that. But if you really want to learn how to respond, you pray in the Spirit, and then the Lord's going to bring things into your life that's going to help you. He's going to help our weaknesses. He's going to help our infirmities. He's going to strengthen those things that are weak and those things that are too strong in our life that can hinder us and hurt us in our walk. He's going to bring that down where it can be dealt with. He's going to take the low places and bring them high and the high places and bring them low so that they will be on a little more of an even keel. And that's what he wants for his people.
Amen. Amen. I still laugh when you tell me that story.
Well, it is kind of humorous, but that's a thought to the matter.
All right, we got about 8 minutes left, so I want to end with Romans 8:29, and I'm going to read this for mine if you don't mind. It says, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory." Thank you, Jesus. So I wanted to end on this note. So God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like who? Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Jesus is our example. Would you agree with me there?
Yes, he is.
Charlie, how many miracles? How many people or things did he bring back to life? How many miracles? How many demons did he cast out before he was filled with the Holy Ghost?
None.
Zero, right?
Zero.
Not a one. How many? With the apostles, it's a little bit different because Jesus gave them his name and his authority.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look after Jesus left, does the Bible say anything about them doing any miracles?
No.
Nothing. What's the common denominator between Jesus and the disciples when the miracles, the signs and wonders started to happen?
The baptism of the Holy Ghost.
There you go. So if Jesus is our example, why wouldn't a person ask to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I don't understand it. I just don't get it. And then you have these cheap teachers or these pastors or people working in the fivefold ministry. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Ready? Here's where we could disagree, Charlie. If you are not filled with the Holy Ghost and you're pastoring a church, you're out evangelizing, you're an apostle, you're a prophet, or you're a teacher, you have not been called. You're not ready. You're not empowered. You shouldn't be doing it.
Well, it's amazing to me how much success can be done without the Holy Ghost. I'm surprised by that. I really
am.
They work off their carnality, but there's a lot of success that's done with that.
But if you look in Scripture, in the early church, every person that was in the church, Stephen, Philip, we can go on and on, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Every single one.
I could go into a lengthy theological discussion about that, but it's not necessary. The reason why they were, because was taken out of the church because of a theological concept that those gifts and all were done away with. They were there for the time of the apostles to establish the church. And once the church got established and running on its own, those gifts and all were no longer needed. In other words, they were done away with. There's nothing in Scripture that says that, but that's where the concept comes from.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's just amazing to me. So if Jesus were to be just like Jesus, Jesus was filled, we are to be filled. Why? Holy Ghost power to overcome sin's power. So there is a power, a sin's power, and there's the Holy Ghost power. We know that the Holy Ghost power is more powerful and can break the power of the power of sin, of the sinful nature.
That's right.
So that's about where I'm going to stop it for the night, Charlie. Have you got anything to add?
No. The only other thing that I probably wanted to bring out here was we skipped over a verse that I think is important for those of us walking with the Lord.
Amen.
And it's in verse 28. And I want to read it out of the King James first. In verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." That's amazing.
Amen.
Amplified, it says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his plan and purpose." And that, my friend, right there, if we're called by God and we walk with him and he has a plan and purpose for our life, we know that all things, it doesn't matter what happens, will work for our good, because the Lord will take the disasters of our life and turn it around and make it good and make it profitable and make it a testimony of the grace of God in our life.
Amen. Amen. You know, for the people that are listening out there and stuff, God has a tendency throughout Scripture and take the person who's struggled the most in life, that seems to be the lowest of the totem pole, and for whatever reason, I wouldn't know because I'm not God, but he gets a hold of that person and he makes them the most that they can be in Christ Jesus. So we don't care who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. Jesus Christ died on that cross for you. The Bible says that he died for the world so that the world could accept him. So right now, if you're listening at home, if you, Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, again, we don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done. I don't care what you're doing now. I do know that Jesus Christ died for you. He is a call away, calling out to him now, not a phone call. All you have to do is just say something simple, because God knows your heart. Just say, "God, I admit that I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that he rose again and he's seated at the right hand of you, God. I just ask Jesus Christ into my heart. I ask him to be my Lord and Savior. Amen." If you've said this prayer, Charlie and I believe that you've become born again. We have materials for you. We want to help get you started with your walk in Jesus Christ. We will get you Bibles. We will get you information. Is that not right, Brother Charlie?
We'll get it to them one way or the other.
We'll get it to you one way or the other. We invite you to watch us. If you don't have a home church, join in with us. We'd love to pray for you. We have prayer cloths available. We have all kinds of study material available. You can go to our website, pastordean.net. You've got all Charlie's Wednesday night Bible studies. We have the Hour of Power programs on Friday nights. We have the Sunday broadcast message. There's all kinds of materials there to go, and we are adding on to the website daily. Soon to have a children's story time, Christian story time, with my wife on Blog Talk Radio. Charlie, we got about 40 seconds. Is there anything else you want to say?
We're good to go. I think we've just about covered this subject here tonight, and we'll be looking forward to next week.
Well, thank you for your prayers, people. Thank you, Charlie, for coming on and being awesome like you always are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, people, and we'll talk to you Tuesday. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.